today I want to come back to our series that we've been in the, I guess it would be more expository preaching and teaching through the book of Colossians. We started last year, and we made it through up to verse 5, and I wanted to continue hopefully through verse 8 today. And I've entitled the message, Gospel Fruit. Gospel Fruit. Amen. And so if you have a Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 1. And I told you I've been on this, not a quest, but I guess I've been on this where the Lord's been teaching me and showing me how this is all about Him, and how for so long in my life it was, my eyes were all about me, fast right, pray right, walk right, talk right. I got to do everything. And He came to me and said, no, you got it all wrong. You got it all backwards. It's me. It's me, okay? And He said, I'm the first and I'm the last. I am Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. And so it's all about me first, son, and everything you do is predicated upon what I've already done. And so I have to keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, right? In John 15:1, Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The vine comes before the branch. And so all throughout Scripture is God first. And so I'm still enjoying this whole ride, if you will, if I can refer to it as that, because everywhere I look, I see His handprint. Everywhere I look, I see His handiwork. Amen. And so I'll start in verse 5, where it reads, because of the hope, well, let me back up so I can get a bit more context. We give thanks to God, verse 3, and Father, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before, in the word of the truth of the gospel. And so you have to understand when Bill took off talking about the word, the power of His word, he was confirming what the scripture says here in Colossians 1 and 5. And without knowing it, he just went off into it. And he says, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. I want to get into that today. Verse 6, which has come to you as it has also in all the world and is bringing forth fruit. What is bringing forth fruit? The word of the truth of the gospel. Okay. Is bringing forth fruit. And it Paul says to them, as it is also among you, listen, since the day you heard it, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. And so the day that you and I got saved, the day that Christ rescued us out of darkness and thrust us into the light, the word of God, the incorruptible seed of the word of God was sown in my spirit, sown in your spirit. And that day it began to bring forth fruit. And from that day to this, it's been bringing forth fruit and it will continue. Why? Because God spoke it. And what do we say? When God speaks, it happens. When God speaks, it happens, right? And so in Isaiah 55 and verse 11, the Lord says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void or empty. It shall not return to me void or empty. There are plenty. Listen, I'm so glad it's the AFC and NFC championship today. You know why? Because after the day, a whole lot of people are going to shut their mouth and stop talking. Because all up into every sports game, all they talk about is, well, this team is going to win because they've got X, Y, Z. And I'm always saying, and I'm sure my family gets tired of me walking around the house. I come walk around the house and say, shut up and play. Shut up and play. Because none of you know what you're talking about. It's a 50-50 chance somebody will get it right because one team got it. Only God is the one who can speak. And when He speaks, it's done. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no back and forth about it. When He speaks, it's done. His word says, but it shall accomplish what I please. Imagine if you could speak a word and what you spoke, it went out to do what you just told it to do. What? That's our God. That's our God. He says, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And so there's only one word we need to hear today. That is the word of God. We so desperately need to hear the word of God. And as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, those who hear and obey will be like those who built their house upon a rock. And so when Bill referred to our leaders, if God, word of God, we had leaders who obeyed the word of God as it is revealed to us. We keep praying. Pray for awakening. Hello? I was up this morning praying for awakening. God, Father, pray. Help us, Lord. Pray. And we're praying that folks' hearts would come alive. Amen? But God's word is so powerful that when God said, and I'm in Colossians, but I've got to just dig into a little bit this about God's word, because it says that this, the word of the truth of the gospel, is what we're dealing with. God's word is so powerful that when God said, let there be light, not only was there light, and you're absolutely right, there was light, but guess what? There continues to be light. Scientists tell us, let me read, where is this from? The Library of Congress states this. The galaxies outside our own, now you know, okay, the universe is everything, okay, right? In the universe are galaxies, which we live in one, called the Milky Way galaxy. But there are trillions of galaxies, trillions. And the Milky Way galaxy is by no means small. They say it's some 100 to 200 million light years across. That doesn't mean anything to you. I mean, it was a light year. But we can't even think of terms like that. This universe, what God made, is so huge, you can't even get your mind around it. And that's what's so wonderful about him when he speaks. It lets you know who we're dealing with, okay? But so the Library of Congress says the galaxies outside our own galaxies are moving away from us. So the Andromeda galaxy, which is bigger than our galaxy, I don't know how they say they're going to collide because they're all moving away. So these galaxies are moving away from us, and the ones that are the farthest away are moving the fastest. This means that no matter what galaxy you happen to be in, all the other galaxies are moving away from you. However, the galaxies are not moving through space. They are moving in space. So what does that mean? Because space is also moving. In other words, space, if it was finite, would be the place where the galaxies, if they kept moving, would eventually bump into space, the limits of space. But space is not finite, because time and space go together. In other words, time and space are all stretching out, and galaxies are continuing, star formations are continually being formed today. And they're all rushing away from us. So when God spoke, light came into being, and it began to be diffused all throughout the universe, and it's still going on today. Why? Because he said it. That's why. And so this is the power of God's word. Let me say again, I love saying this because it's so true. God's word is the only word that when he speaks it, it has power in itself to bring itself to pass. Oh my God. He's the only one that when he speaks, his word has power in itself to bring itself to pass. That's why he doesn't need anything else. He doesn't need you and me. He doesn't need anything else. See, we benefit from his word. But his word doesn't need us. We need him. We need his word. And so when he said, let there be light, it started happening. And it keeps happening, right? So now the word is the means or the method of communicating. I'm so glad. I was up in prayer this morning thanking God. I always thank God. Thank you for creating me and making man in your image. Because God created us in his image, and he created us for relationship and for fellowship. That gives us insight into the Godhead. He said, let us make man, okay? And he made us with the capability to love one another, so forth and so on. He didn't give the animals that, because the animals will bear their young and then turn around and eat their young. That is, by the way, how you know a human, something's wrong with them. Hello? That's how you know the folk out in California had problems, when they had the 13 children shackled up. Because human beings don't act like that. Why? Because God made us for relationship. He made us to love one another. See, he made us to enjoy one another. Animals don't have that capability. A lion cannot enjoy an antelope, except when the antelope is between its teeth. It's the only time he enjoys it. But it can't sit down. That's why the Bible says in the millennial kingdom that the lion will lay down with the lamb. Hello. The lion ain't laying down with no lamb today, unless he's laying down to finish it off, right? So animals don't have that capacity that we do. Why? Because God didn't make them in his image. But he did make us. I'm getting off. So let me come back. Sometimes you just want to sit down and talk about him. You just want to talk about God. You love how what he's done, right? Amen. So the words of God are very important. Words are very important, both spoken and written. God was the first person to write his words. He did it on Exodus chapter 20. When he came and spoke to Moses and he wrote the tablets, and it said the tablets were written with the finger of God. So how important is God's word? Important enough for him to write it down, for him to write it down. Okay. How important are words? One word from God can change your eternal destiny. One word. That's why in Acts chapter 5 and verse 20, after the apostles had been locked up, the angel came and released them and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Go stand in the temple. They just locked us up from standing in the temple. He said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. Not this life, the words of the eternal life that Jesus Christ died to give to man. Acts chapter 10 and verse 22 is the account of Cornelius. After the angel said to him, search for this Simon Peter and have him come. Says that they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house to hear words from you. The angel told Cornelius, go and look for this Simon Peter. What am I going to look? What's he going to give me? You're going to need to hear words from him. How important is that? That people, listen, there are some people out there who need to hear your words. There are words that God has put in your mouth to speak to them that is going to bring life to them. Amen. And I'm always praying this because I'm in different people's houses from day to day, month to month, year to year, cleaning their carpet. And there are times when, of course, I wish it were every time, but then I would never get anything done. But there are times where I wish that it was every occasion where I could sit down with people and just break the word open. Because on the times that the Holy Spirit does do that, oh, it's life changing. It's life changing. Just recently had a woman text me again and says, Pat, I just want to thank you again for coming over to our house that day. She says, you know, I'm Catholic. And in the Catholic Church, you don't say amen unless they tell you to say amen. She says, but when you were praying, I said amen. She says, my friend told me afterward, after you left, she hunched me and said, did you know you were saying amen out loud? She was excited about that. she says, but I said amen. And she still wants to bring her son and her friends here to experience. She says, we want to come and really experience what a church and singing, and we want to experience all. I'm like, okay, well, you know, when you get ready, come on, because we ain't going nowhere. And it was the words that changed. It was the words that did that. Wasn't money. Oh, it wasn't great knowledge. It was just the word of God. Acts 13:42. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. We're talking about the word of the truth of the gospel. The word of the truth. And that word truth is in between word and gospel, and it points to both. The word is true and the gospel is true. Remember, Pilate asked Jesus and said, what is truth? Remember he asked that? But truth is not an idea. Truth is not a concept. Truth is a person. Truth is a person. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that truth is going to, he's going to bring, and he's going to bring every lie to an account on judgment day. Right? This person, the truth of Jesus Christ, he left his message with 12 men who preached that message to the known world. What Jesus did and what these men did was recorded that we might know the truth. So what we believe is not fables handed down. What we believe is the truth of the Word of God. One article states that the New Testament has been preserved in more manuscripts than any other ancient work. So from the Iliad to Gilgamesh to all of these ancient works, this Wikipedia article says that the New Testament has been preserved in more manuscripts. Manuscript is when someone sits down and manually copies from the original and they write it out. So of the New Testament, we have over 5,800 complete or fragmented Greek manuscripts, 10,000 Latin manuscripts, and 9,300 manuscripts in various other ancient languages, including Syriac, Slavic, Gothic, Ethiopic, Coptic, and Armenian. So we have the truth of God's word. What they went through, they wrote down and recorded so that we might know the truth. 1 John 5:20 says that, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And so truth characterizes every word that God speaks, because he cannot speak a lie. He cannot lie, right? Psalms 33:4 says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all of his work is done in truth. Gospel of John 1:14 declares, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In John 17:17, Jesus in his high priestly prayer prayed, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So the word of God that we have, the word of the truth of the gospel, this is what we have learned concerning Christ our Savior. And it is that word, as I will get further into it, is bringing forth fruit. Let me deal with this word, the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel simply is good news. The gospel is simply good news. And Paul tells us that we heard of that which was laid up for us in heaven, our inheritance, in the word of the truth of the gospel. The gospel is the good news, and it's declared by the word. 1 Corinthians, again, tells us that God chose preaching, which is foolishness to the Jews. He chose preaching to communicate the message of salvation, where the Jews would have done it through works, you know. Not going anywhere on the Sabbath and not having leaven in your house and all the things that they went through. They went about to establish their own righteousness, the scripture teaches. But the gospel is the good news, and people need good news. I'm telling you right now, people need good news. I'll never forget standing in one lady's house. I had to stop running my machine because I asked this lady, well, how you doing? She says, I'm so afraid. Oh, I'm so afraid. This woman went off. I forget what had happened in the nation or around the world, and she was literally shaking. And I had to stop running my machine, and I started to exhort this woman. I said, ma'am, hold on, wait a second. You know, man doesn't run everything. Hello? Your trust and your hope cannot be in man. Hello? The Bible says, cursed is the man who trusts in man, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. And so, you know, the things happen in this world, and they try your trust. They will reveal what you are trusting in. That's when God says, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. If you're trusting in something that can be shaken, when he shakes it, guess what? You're going to be shaking, becoming unglued. Folks go, oh, I don't know what to do. Scared to death. But when your trust and your hope is in him, come what may. That's why Psalm 46 says that God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Though the mountains shake and the waves swell, it says we will not fear. Hello. Because God was his refuge and his strength. Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, the scripture says, went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He went about preaching the good news of the kingdom. When Jesus came, there was the Jews were under oppression. Amen. They were in bondage to the Romans. Why? Because of their sin. Israel was constantly in bondage because of their sin. But when Jesus came, he came preaching the good news of the kingdom. You remember he sent his disciples out to preach the good news of the kingdom. And here, but not only did he preach, the scripture says this. He preached the good news of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon possessed. Hello. Jesus even walked amongst us. And I wish, when I read that earlier, I was looking over this early this morning, and when I read that, David Blaine popped up in my mind. I said, don't you wish David Blaine would meet Jesus? Except they're coughing up frogs. It's on YouTube. He's literally walking around a party coughing up frogs into people's cups. It's a demonic. The man is demon possessed. Hello. And he's coughing up frogs, literally come up out of his body, and he spits them out of his mouth into somebody's cup. And the people sitting there going, oh, isn't he cool? This is awesome. And I'm looking at it going, no, it's not cool. He's demon possessed. And wouldn't it be great if he met Jesus? That frog be coming up. He gets stopped. Amen. It's all gone now. He needs to meet Jesus. Why? Because the gospel of the kingdom brought deliverance from evil spirits, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. And then Jesus told the Jews that the kingdom of God was at hand, and this was good news because they didn't have any good news. Luke 9:6 says they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Jesus, he sent out his disciples to preach the good news. And when we go and preach the good news, guess what follows? Healing. Deliverance from demons. Hello. Lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. And so all of this accompanies the preaching of the gospel. Matthew 24:14, Jesus says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. This gospel that Paul was preaching, this gospel will be preached to all the world. Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so our desire is wherever we go, because we are representatives of the kingdom of God, we are ambassadors, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5. We are ambassadors for Christ. And where we go when we proclaim the message of the gospel, the message of the kingdom, then the power of the kingdom is there to back up the message of the gospel. So after he rose from the dead, Jesus told his disciples to go everywhere and to preach the good news. Why? Well, because sin and death is bad news. Salvation is good news. Amen. And people need to be saved. That's why Paul says in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He says, I am not ashamed. If God put us somewhere and said, I'll need you to speak the gospel truth, could we do it? Would we do it? I just need you to speak the gospel truth. I said, if God put us somewhere, that if is not a, really, it's not an if. It is God has put us somewhere, and we need to speak the gospel truth. When God opens that door and the opportunity presents itself, we need to tell the gospel truth. Amen? Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:23 declares, having been born again, not of corruptible seed or perishable seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. God's word, after being planted, always produces a harvest. It always produces a harvest. Why? Because it's imperishable and it is his word. And so the scripture says, Paul says, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you. And the word of God is coming to everyone. Amen. As it has also in all the world. And so the gospel truth is going throughout the whole world. And he says, is bringing forth fruit. Remember what we said earlier about the word of God, that it shall not return to him void or empty. It shall accomplish that which he pleases. It shall prosper in the thing whereto he sent it. So his word is going to produce a harvest. What does that harvest look like? Well, Jesus said in John 15:1, I already stated, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. And so the work of the Father in the life of the Christian is to see that the Christian becomes more like Christ. Hello. So the branch is part of the vine, and what's flowing through the vine is supposed to flow into the branch. When that happens, fruit comes. Fruit comes. Now, people often go back and forth about, well, what is the fruit? What is the fruit? And for some, it can be, well, people teach all kinds of different things. They preach as, well, it's a big church, deep pockets, whole lot of money, big house, preach all kinds of things. However, I never seen a house hanging off a vine. I've never seen money boop, popping off of a tree. We love a tree, money that grew on trees, right? But no, the fruit that God is looking for is Christ-likeness. That's the fruit. That's the fruit. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. What's flowing in me must flow in you and sustain you. And that is Christ himself. So we don't judge how one is doing by looking at the temporal or the outward, necessarily. Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So Jesus points here and he points to his part, and then he points to our part. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. That's a matter of fact. But then he says this, he who abides in me, that's my job. And I in him, that's his responsibility. Now, we know he's going to be faithful. He's not leaving me. He's going to abide in me. But my goal is to abide in him and never leave him. Jesus said, this will result in outward evidence that I am in him, the vine. And then Jesus said this in John 15:8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So will you be my disciples. Paul says here that in Colossians 5, that the word of the truth of the gospel is bringing forth fruit. Is bringing forth fruit. So the day that the word of God saved you and saved me, that word was planted in us and it began to bring forth fruit. What fruit? Well, Galatians 5:22 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, right? So when you look down, when you look further down in the scripture, you see in verse 8 of Colossians 1, Paul says, who also declared to us your love of the Spirit. And so, 1 John tells us that whosoever is born of God loves God, but not only loves God, but loves those who are begotten by God. And that is the great fruit. That is the great fruit of the Christian life. This fruit, Proverbs 8:19 says, my fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. The fruit of God's living in us, the fruit of the Spirit living in us, is better to us than winning the lottery. Hello. I just read a headline the other day, just scrolling through news, and this some teenage girl who hit the lottery big, and the article was this. She says, "I am miserable as a millionaire winner of the lottery." And I thought, wow. And yet people run to get their ticket. And it happens over and over and over again. And yet people running, Lord, and Christians too. Lord, help me hit that number. Lord, even I've heard pastors say, the Lord gave me a number. Oh, yeah, it's going on. And yet we're told that it's a miserable life. No, it's miserable for them, but I need to try it. You know, that's how I'd be like, are you serious? Are you serious? My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Godly character and Christ-likeness is better than great riches. I got one amen. Let me say that again. I said, godly character and Christ-likeness is better than great riches, just as the eternal is better than the temporal. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. If you have any doubt, ask Larry Nassar, this gymnastics coach, who had an obvious talent. He had abilities. He was given a talent by God. Hello. God don't only give his people talent. He give everybody talents. Hello. And you have to use that talent. Hello. And so he's using his talent, but it was his character. It was his character that ended his career. It wasn't that he wasn't trained enough. It wasn't that he wasn't even good at what he was doing. He was probably good at what he did. But it was his character that ended his vocation. And so Jesus says that I'm the vine and you are the branches. Abide in me and I in you. And so in all that we do, Christ must abide in us so that righteous and godly fruit would be what is fruit is the result of what's going on in the tree. You know, the Bible says a bad tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Why? Because the good fruit can't come from a bad tree. Amen. And so if it's good on the outside, it's got to be good on the inside. But if it's bad on the inside, it cannot bring forth good fruit. And this is the fruit. This is the gospel fruit that Paul is talking about. He says this, he says the word of the truth of the gospel has come to you and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day that you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. So what is that fruit? I mean, we see it. Let me read Mark 4:8, which reads, but other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. In other words, God's word in us causes hope to spring up, love to spring up, joy to spring up, light to spring up, life to spring up. The Christian is a living epistle or letter from God to the world. The fruit of the word and the spirit of God is evidence of his work in our lives. The fruit of the spirit and the word of God is evidence that he is at work in our lives. And it is that fruit, it is his working in us that causes us to love the way we do. Jesus said in John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Jesus didn't say he who has fruit and has all the big cars and the nicest house and the most money. He says, you who pray, whatever you ask the Father. No, he said, you who go and bring forth fruit. What fruit is that? The fruit of Christ in your life. Because when Christ's likeness is the fruit that's abounding in our life, that then he says that whatever you may ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. He may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. That you love one another. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. Joy, peace, long-suffering, so forth and so on. Philippians 1:11 declares, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. So the fruit that is growing in us are by Jesus Christ. And Philippians 1:11 goes on to say, to the glory and praise of God. So the fruit that we are to bear unto God is not for our glory, but for his glory. And the first fruit on the list was what? Love. Love. Amen. Every Christian should walk in and be identified by love. Let me say that again. Every Christian should walk in and be identified by his love. Jesus says, by your love, they shall know that you're my disciples. And so we should have love one for another. Listen, nothing should split the church. Nothing should divide brethren. Not race, not color, not political affiliation. Nothing should divide the church. But is the church divided? You bet it is. God have mercy on us. If we could love one another the way Christ loved us, the church would be standing out. It would be so bright. It would be so bright. So Philippians 1:11 again, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This fruit is produced by the Spirit of God and is to the glory and praise of God. So we ask, why am I here? Why am I, you know, I've heard some pastors say, well, you know, the reason why you're still here is so that you can lead other people to Jesus Christ. That's the only reason you're here. And that's very simplistic. That's very simplistic. I don't agree with that. Only simply because of 1 Corinthians 6:20, which I'm quoting all the time. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Why am I here? One of the chief reasons I'm here is to glorify God in my spirit and in my body, which are God's. And I keep telling you, so I've said before, let me say again, that God has given each one of us a platform from which to glorify him. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the stage. It doesn't matter how high the platform. Remember, it doesn't matter that he gave you one talent, five or ten. That was not the issue. The issue was, he said to the others, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. The issue is, am I going to be faithful when I'm cleaning that carpet? Hello. No one else is looking, but am I going to be faithful with the gift and the talent, the ability that he's given me? Mommy's platform is rising up. But it's not the height of the platform. Is, are you going to be faithful when Daniel's pulling wire, doing lugging tools up, you know, stairs and all of this stuff to the glory of God? To the glory of God, with a heart that loves and is being loved by Christ and is loving others, and that when we are reviled, we revile not again. When we're mistreated, when we're spoken against, we don't speak back. And when people mistreat us, we don't curse them, but we bless them. That's the fruit. That's how we glorify God in our body. And so Paul says in verse 7, as you have learned, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who was a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. Verse 8, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. That's the fruit right there. Your love in the Spirit. It was John who said this. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. If you don't love Christians, you know you're not saved. That's what John's saying. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love those who are begotten of him who begot us. Hello. We love the family of God. Amen. And so love, that's the fruit. What's the fruit Jesus is talking about? In John 15, it's love. It's love. God is love, 1 John 4:16. And every person who is born again is born of God. This means that the love of the Christian is fueled by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The love of the Christian is fueled by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's the Holy Spirit that moves the heart of the Christian to love others. So when Sherry comes and says, Pastor, I just got on my heart, these people in Manassas, they're homeless, and they need shoes, and they need clothes, and can we do something? And I'm sitting there going, yeah, let's do something. But what prompted that? Where did that come from? Is it just some nice, you know, no, it's the love of God. It's the love of God that causes one to care for someone else. That causes one to reach out and want to do something from someone else. Now, how many opportunities do we have to love people? Woo! Take your pick. Just open your eyes. It's all around. Romans 5:5 says this, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Where does that love come from? It's poured out by the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit on the inside of us is just pouring out the love so that we can go minister to people. What do you want to do this year? What do you want to do? I'm asking myself this question. What do you want to do? To love someone, to help someone, to be there for someone. The need is great. The harvest fields are white. I mean, Jesus said, pray that the Lord would send laborers into his harvest. Why? Because the harvest fields, they're full. They're ready to be harvested. The Christian who does not love is an oxymoron. For God is love. Hello? Romans 15:30. Now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. He says, I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me. In other words, our prayers for one another are motivated by and through the love of the Spirit. When we pray for people, through the love of the Spirit, because we love them, that's why we pray. Ephesians 1:15, therefore, after I also heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love for all the saints, Paul declaring to the Ephesians church about their love for all the saints, the fruit that God is the Lord, Jesus Christ is the Lord. Romans 13:8 declares, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So, what do you want to do? Who do you want to touch? Who do you want to reach out to? You know, I go on these walks, and I'm constantly, you know, you're talking to the Lord, and I'm like, Lord, there are people everywhere. There are people I always see, typically on a walk. And, Sherry Reed was telling me about the dog park. Oh, my goodness, I don't have a dog. But she was telling me about the people she's meeting at the dog park. I mean, there's enough people there. All about just that could be a ministry. Do whatever you want to do. Because there are so many people you're coming into contact with. And I'm saying to myself, I said, Lord, there's no shortage. He's like, no. What do you want to do, son? Who do you want to touch? Just determine who you want to touch and just go love them. Just go love them. So I was asking myself these questions. Do you want to make a difference this year? Do we want to make a difference? Of course we do. So we need to love people with the love of God. Very simple. The invisible God causes his word to be declared. His word then produces visible change that attests to his existence. That's what's going on in you and I here, is that he spoke and he saved us. And to show the world that he's real, even though he is invisible, he spoke and his word is living in us. And that spoken word is changing us from the inside out to show that he's living in us and they can see that God lives. Because no one could produce in the Christian what is produced in them except the love of God. This is why Paul is talking about the fruit, the word of the truth of the gospel that's bringing forth fruit in you as it is in all the world. And that fruit is for the glory and praise of God. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your divine word, that it is active, it is sharp, and it's powerful, and it's alive, and it's living in us. And Father, we thank you that it's producing only that which you can bring forth. Father, I pray that your word would have free course in our lives. I pray, oh God, that the word of God that dwells in us, Lord, that word, Lord, that what you want to do and the way that you fashioned each and every one of us and the effect on the word of us uniquely, the effect of the word upon us, Lord, that the fruit of God would be seen. And Father, that our lives would be used to minister to others and to bring life and healing and salvation and redemption. Lord, that you might receive all the glory and all the praise. Help us now, Father, Lord, to see, open up our eyes to see all the possibilities, all the avenues, the occasions that you've given us for ministry, the occasions that you've given us to declare your praise and to show forth your goodness, Lord, that we might bring forth fruit unto your glory and your praise. And we ask it all in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen, amen, and amen.